Yo, what is up? Welcome to the very first episode of the Music Maker podcast. I'm your host, Flash89, and thank you for joining me for this journey. We're basically going to dive deep into the art of music creation on this podcast, very much around dance music. What I'd like to do is discuss the intricacies of music production, the mindset, the industry, and the challenges that come with mindset and industry in making music, and also connect with artists and find out how they go about their process and how they're going on their journey, how they got there, where they're going. And I think in doing so, we can hopefully get some value from that and we can apply it to our own musical journey, whether we're into music production, we're making records, or you're a DJ, or you're just a music lover and you just love to hear some insights into the way your favorite artists make their music. So I really want to do that on this podcast. And I figured what I would do is have a chat about how I got to this point where I wanted to start a podcast. And then hopefully that'll give you some context. And if you want to join me on this journey, I would love to have you. So I produce and make music under Flash89. I'm also a mentor where I teach those to make their own music in dance music, or, you know, help those that maybe just having some creative barriers. So it was actually in the recent months that I decided, you know what, I reckon it'd be awesome to do a podcast. And I know everyone says that and wants to do that, but I was having a bit of a breakthrough with creativity after a very long period of being stuck in the mud and hitting a plateau. And I thought a podcast, basically, I have a lot of friends that they do their own music and they're incredibly talented. And I just thought, what a waste not to be having an opportunity to talk with them and share that with other people. So that is why the Music Maker podcast has been born. Now, I have had a radio show in the past, which we might touch on. So talking and having it recorded isn't completely foreign to me, but I'm a bit rusty and I'm probably going to make mistakes. So please bear with me as I sort of get used to this. You're basically at the starting point of my journey in this realm, so please bear with me. So these days, I basically live on the Gold Coast. I was born and raised in South Australia, and by day, I'm a health professional, so I'm a medical sonographer. And for those that don't know, that's basically an ultrasound tech that scans babies. If you're having a child, you'll know. But no one knows what the hell I'm talking about when I talk about being a medical sonographer, so that's what it is. I scan babies, and then I do music and mentor and DJ, and that's what I do. And that's where my passion is and lies. So my musical journey started, you could say I was 16. I played guitar, but I didn't really stick with it and I wasn't that great at it. But I really did love music and I was into artists like Metallica and Muse and Slipknot, Blink-182, very rock based. That's what got me into the start of like really listening to music. So intensely. And then when I was about 19, funny because up until that point, I thought dance music was whack. I never really understood it, never really got into it. I always thought it was very like ravey and like, and at that time I didn't really appreciate it. But around 19 or 20, I think I went to Parklife 2008 with one of my mates, Tricky. Shout out to Tricky. And that was in Adelaide, South Australia. And that, I think that was the point that day that really kicked off my musical journey, because my dance music journey, I should say. I still remember it very vividly. Tricky invited me to go to this day and we decided to go together. And so we're like, okay, we'll do it, just us two. We did it last minute. We booked tickets. We'd had a couple of drinks. We're walking in and I think we were sneaking alcohol in at that time because, you know, that's what cool people do. And we're walking in. I still remember to this day, like if you go to a festival, you can always hear the drums kind of rumbling in the distance as you walk towards the festival. We're like, yeah, there it is. You get really excited. Like, oh, I'm so keen. And I just remember that being really cool. And we got in, we got past the security and obviously they didn't pick us up, you know, having something strapped to our leg. So we're like, oh, you know, we're pretty stoked and pretty excited. And then I still remember DJ Minx, Sydney-based producer, DJ producer. She was playing and opening one of the stages, and I still remember the record she was playing. She was playing Je T'aime by Armin van Helden, and it was the Switch remix. So shout out to Minx, because that really watched her. I watched her set and I really enjoyed it. And I just had such a ball that day at Parklife. That's basically what kicked off my love of dance music. I just became obsessed with it. Artists like Fake Blood and Jack Beats and Herve, and who else was around? Sinden, the Count and Sinden. Electro was really big at this state. Like, actually, we were just coming out of the electro phase back then, and we're going to like Fidget House and that sort of style, big wobbly bass lines. And I just became obsessed with that. I listened to it religiously. It was just so cool. I think Fake Blood was my favorite artist at that time. And I got into the Essential mixes on BBC Radio 1, and that was really cool. And I don't know, dance music was just so addictive once you got into it. And then from there, I was like, well, I love dance music. I'm listening to it all the time religiously. I'm doing playlists. I just thought, well, the next step is I might as well DJ. Why not? You know, everyone's doing it at that stage. DJs were really, it was quite trendy to do, be a DJ. But my ex-girlfriend at the time was dating a DJ. And so I was kind of like, I was a bit reluctant. I was like, oh, what are people going to think? They think I'm just going to try and copy the DJ. But I was like, you know what? Screw it. I really like this sort of stuff, so I'm going to do it. And so I started DJing, trying to teach myself to DJ. Got some DJ 800s, started practicing, learned how to beat match. And it was helpful because all of my mates were also DJs. But we all started playing together just at pre-parties and stuff. And it was wicked. Good fun. But I started playing around the Adelaide club scene, having been, you know, from South Australia. Got my first gig and then worked my way up. My first gig, I think, was Club 58. And I ejected the USB, so the music stopped. So good start. And I've done that. I mean, we all do that through our DJ career, right? Yeah, maybe it's just me. But no, I'm pretty sure Dom Dollar said he does that as well. So, you know, there you go. It happens to everyone. So, but anyway, didn't make a habit of that. I still get mad anxiety when I'm touching the USBs. So I basically worked my first gig, worked my way up through Adelaide, played Red Square, HQ, Electric Circus. These were the main clubs at the time. And so I had that for a few years. And yeah, it was just DJing. It was just so much fun. And you meet so many cool people and you know, people that I'm still friends with today. But, and then from that also, I had a radio show on Fresh 92.7, which is why I've got a little bit of experience talking. But where'd I go from there? I've been playing around. And then after playing around for a few years, I decided, look, I love dance music, DJing. I love DJing. It's so much fun. I was doing this all while I was going through uni. The next step is let's learn how to make records. I need a point of difference. How do I be different from everyone else that's DJing? I'll start to learn to make records. So I started learning music production. You basically had to teach yourself back then. There wasn't anywhere near as many tutorials. So you were very heavily on forums and just talking to others that were getting into music production and learning that way and practice. But that was so much fun. It was very challenging to learn to make music is very difficult, but it's like anything, any skill, you put your 10,000 hours in and you get there, you practice and you practice and you practice. And it was just like DJing. I'd already learned that. So why couldn't I learn to make records? And then it probably took me 5 years to get to a point where I was kind of confident in making music, dance music. And then one of the DJs that I'd be playing with a lot was Mike Wells. I met Mike, and who is basically, he DJs as Senorita and Well Said. And when we were playing together, we were playing at a residency at HQ, and we were going back to back all the time. And we started making music together, and we were like, well, you know what? The next step for us is to just make a duo together and start a project. And so we actually made Senor Raw, the project, together, and we kicked that off, and it was very multi-genre. We were making house music for a while, but we needed a change up. So we decided, let's make Senor Raw and let's play whatever we want. And we got to a point where we were writing records that starting to get played by big artists. We had DJ Snake, Charmy, Dylan Francis, Diplo, Skrillex, like all these huge acts playing our records, and we were like, we're onto something here. Let's do this. And so we started touring around Australia. We did that for a little while. We're making records here, there, remixing weekly. It was a lot of fun. And you know, we were a really good creative duo, I think, because Mike had really good ideas, and I'd done a lot of the nitty gritty music production side of things. So we collaborated really well in the studio and just made some records that I'm still very proud of today and still get played today by artists. I remember, we'll talk about that in a moment, but I moved to London and I remember hearing them dropping out the records that we wrote together like 5 years later in London. So it's just crazy. But yeah, we had a good time. And then we got to a point where our creative directions were starting to differ a bit. So I decided to leave the project. We're still really good friends, but he kind of carried on the mantle of Senior Raw, and I got to a point where I was reflecting where I was at with music. I didn't really know where to go after the Senior Raw thing. So I took a step back and decided, look, let's just start fresh, start a new project. Don't know what the project is yet, but we'll start fresh and we'll go from there. So I started experimenting with the new concepts and new sounds, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to go back into the house scene. When I learned to make music, it was in the house scene. It was in the house realm. I got kicked off by an artist called Hijack, I don't think he's really producing too much these days, but he got me really inspired in house music. And that's where I kind of learned the magic of house music and the joys of creating a loop and making it last for 5 minutes and keeping it interesting. So I developed the project called Flash 89. And for those that want to know, where the name came from, the Flash is my favorite superhero. I'm an absolute geek, and I decided I'm going to name my project after him. And then 89 is my age showing through. I'm 33, born in 1989, so that's where the name came from. But I don't know, I wanted something retro sounding, and that kind of lined up, and I thought it was cool. So if you don't think it's cool, it's probably not. It's just me, but hey, you know, I'm a geek. So I developed the Flash 89 project, and then I ended up signing a multi-record deal with Sydney-based label, et cetera, et cetera. And from there, that kicked off the project. And I remixed officially for Pinyao, which was really fun. Their record, Go Bang, which is still one of my favorite remixes that I've made today. You know, I'm really passionate remixing songs of artists that you're really into. And that was one of them. So from there, I also collaborated with Sonny Federa. I'd actually released, funny story, I'd released on Sonny Federa's label before he was already good and big, but he wasn't anywhere near the superstar he was back then. And he had a label called Beatdown. So I released a long time ago on that label. And then it's funny because we sort of came back full circle, spoke to Sonny again. We actually wrote a record together called The System. And then I released on his record label, Solotoco. So that was really cool. And the Flash 89 project got off to a really good start. It was tricky though, because while the production stuff was coming together pretty well, I was in a bit of a weird mind headspace. I was not really keen to travel. I didn't really want to tour, play any gigs. And I'd just come out of a long relationship at that time of about 4.5 years. So I was in a pretty weird place while I was doing music. It was, I don't know, it was a strange time. So I think in that time, I lost a few opportunities to really chase the project and do that. But I mean, you live, you learn, such is life. I wasn't ready for it. So anyway, from that point, I thought, you know what? I need to change. I've lived in Adelaide up until the age of 26. I've gone on some trips and done some holidays and stuff, but I need something really new. So I decided, let's move to London. I picked London because, you know, my day job, I could get a lot of work over there, and the house scene is revered all over the world from being in the UK, and you got Europe on your doorstep, and it was just such a logical thing to do. So I decided, I'm going to move to London. Let's go at it. I'll give music a crack. And also at the very least, I get to live in a new city and try something different. Being in London was awesome. That's just so different over there. There's so much opportunity, and there's festivals everywhere. And you know, the festivals are literally just dedicated to one genre of music. You've got a whole festival of thousands of people just for tech house, or, you know, whatever it is you're into, like there's something there for you. That's what I loved about London. And I started, you know, when I got over there, I'd won the opportunity to play at ADE as well. So I played ADE, which is basically the Amsterdam music conference, dance music conference that happens every year in October, I think it is. So I played ADE and then started, you know, networking a bit. That was really fun. Not long into that, this was about 2019, and COVID hit. So I had to stop, and music sort of took a bit of a back burner, and my day job sort of took more of the front. I was always writing records in that time, even throughout. You know, I had releases on Lapsus through that time, and what else did I have? And then I released my first single. with a vocalist, which was really cool. But because of COVID, it put a bit of a dampener on everything, and dance music, you know, people were just trying to figure out what the hell was going on at that stage. So I'd moved to London, had a year of normal London and craziness, and then like COVID London, which wasn't that as bad as people make it sound, but it was very much a different swing of things with the day job taking control. Because I remember like when that happened, I was over there by myself. So it was quite a challenging time, and I hadn't made heaps of friends. And even if you had friends at that time, we're in lockdown, so you couldn't see anyone. So I remember it being a really lonely time. And I just remember wanting to go to work, my day job, just because I needed to talk to someone. So I just wanted some friggin' friends. And that's crazy. It was so crazy what that time. But yeah, anyway, so that was, in the end, it was really good, really rewarding to go to move to a new city like London, one of the biggest cities in the world, and survive, you know, make friends and do all these different things. That was a really cool experience, which I looked really fondly. And I met my girlfriend over there as well. So shout out to my girlfriend, May. But really, I came back to Australia and, you know, I was pretty keen to get back into music, like heavily. And not too long after being in Adelaide for about a year, I decided, look, I'm going to move up to the Gold Coast, which leads me to where we're at now. Being in the Gold Coast, I've been writing records. I've been in the dance music scene for 10 years in one way or another. Whether I was DJing as a resident or I was making records and releasing songs. And I'd gotten to a point where I wasn't really happy. I started making music because I just found it so exciting. Like, it's such a cool thing to do. But the way I was making music was based more on the outcome I felt. And you know, it's funny, you spent so long trying to get good at making music, you finally get to a point where you start releasing on labels and big artists, you know, you get some recognition in whatever way you're looking for. But I started getting recognition by big artists. You know, I'd done songs with the likes of Sonny Federa, and I've collaborated with TCTS as well. And, you know, these are acts I really look up to. And I'd released on a bunch of different labels that I really looked up to as well. And the problem was, I was writing records and my creativity was very heavily directed on, I need to do this so I can get on this, or I can get this and they can play this. And essentially what I was doing, I was just focused so heavily on the outcomes, and that was heavily tied into my ego and my self-worth. If you're getting the picture of what I'm trying to paint, is it's not a very sustainable way to make music. So moving up to the Gold Coast and having thought this for a while, I wasn't really happy in my music making process. So I was at a bit of a loss. Like, I felt like I was stuck in the mud. This is probably getting to the point of nine weeks ago now. Like, I'd been feeling like this for some time. But, and then what I did was I got to a point where I, you know, thought, all right, look, I've been stuck like this for a while. I'm not happy doing it. Changes need to be made. So I had this big reflection on where I'm at, where I'm going, and more specifically, how am I getting there? I've had some elements of success, but I'm not very happy. So there's something wrong here. So big review of my creative process. I actually ended up investing into some mentoring, not in music production, but actually just finance, which eventually turned into mentoring in business, and just everything feeds into each other, right? So this was mentoring and mindset and everything. And speaking to my mentor, Lloyd, shout out to Lloyd Ross. He, with speaking to him and working through all the work I was already doing, I managed to have some breakthroughs in creativity. And with this big, deep reflection on how I was making music, I had some breakthroughs, and I decided to use my skills that I've learned over the last 10 years, instead of just being so focused on myself and trying to make it and as an artist and yada, yada. I was like, you know, I've got these skills, I can help other people. So I started mentoring and teaching other producers and people that want to get into music production, teaching them how to make records and the mindset behind it. And that really helped. I started giving some value, and all of a sudden I felt a bit of a weight lifted off my shoulders. Like, oh, well, at least I'm doing this. I'm helping people. You know, this is the complexity of social media and stuff these days, and we'll go into this on another time, but everything is so based on ego and self-image and outcomes that it's, at the end of the day, music's for creativity. You got to be in love with the process. And so I started falling more in love with the process and actually enjoying the process, even the hard stuff. And and that let this huge boost in creativity help me to this point where, all right, I'll start this podcast. And that's where we're at. Like, that's how I got to this point where, you know, I wanted to give value again and be so take less of a focus off myself. And, you know, let's talk some topics. Let's just talk music and talk to artists and link up with them. Like, that's what I find more fun. You know, I'm still writing records, and but now I'm actually more into the process of it. Not so addicted to the outcome or trying to get signed to a certain label. Because, you know, if you're doing that, that's all well and good. Being driven is awesome. It's one of, like, it's a quality that I've always really admired, and I try, and I've always been quite driven myself. But if you're not doing things with the right mindset, being drive alone can be very unsustainable, and that can lead you down a path of, for me, I just wasn't happy. So, but I'm really stoked to be at this point now where, you know, we're doing this podcast, and I'm just excited for what's to come, really. So that was a little bit about me, you know, how I got to this point. It's all pretty new. But if you're willing to come with me on this journey, you're more than welcome. If you found any insight into this, give us a review on Spotify, or just link up with me on socials. Give us a shout. I'd love to chat music. Yeah, we'll just go from there. So with this podcast, they're going to be a mix of, you know, probably longer episodes when I'm interviewing and shorter episodes when we're just discussing little concepts. But I'm going to be doing this fortnightly, probably dropping on a Friday. So if you want to join me, you are, as I said, you are more than welcome. And this is the very first episode of the Music Maker Podcast. I'm your host, Flash89, switching off. See you next time.